the name of God, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is but one God, and I bear witness that Abraham, that Moses, that Jesus, and that Muhammad are his messengers and prophets. I greet you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Can we give Reverend Buford an Archbishop? In opening, of course, we have returned on the heels of an overwhelming success in the Caravan for Justice. Give it a shout. If I can just take a moment to describe some of the struggles that were waged in order to make that day successful. We were blessed to roll out of more than 15 buses in front of the state's capital. But had you known some of the difficulty that can be presented by our own people in positions of power,
yes,
who make difficulties as a result of doubt. Very difficult to move a people who move without faith. Of course, the scripture teaches us that faith without work is dead.
That's right.
And sometimes you can prove your faith by the way that you do your work.
Amen.
And so we are inspired by the town halls happening in cities all over Northern California,
yes, sir,
who went to work,
yes, sir,
to fill up 15 buses plus dozens of carloads that arrived in Sacramento on Wednesday morning. We want to thank our organizers in East Palo Alto who filled up, I think, two buses. One full bus out of East Palo Alto. We filled up a bus that rolled in from Antioch.
Yes.
We filled up buses that rolled in from Richmond, California.
Yes.
Praise God for their effort. We were blessed to see buses to roll in from West and East Oakland. We had buses that rolled in from every part of San Francisco. That rolled in from Bayview Hunters Point. That rolled in, give me the neighborhood.
Fillmore.
From the Fillmore.
Mississippi.
From who?
Mississippi.
And from the Mission District.
Right.
And we've had buses that have rolled in from San Francisco State. Give all those organizers a big round of applause. Well, why are we targeting Sacramento? It's because our communities, quite frankly, suffer vehement pain from the policies that are written without our personal witness.
That's right.
Now, there are many laws that have been written in past, and as my brother said, there was a gatekeeper somewhere. And far too often, the gatekeeper did not warn us where we live, beware of dogs.
That's right.
That's right.
So laws that are passed that have caused our teenagers to find themselves incarcerated like and with adults in the prison systems.
Okay.
Laws that are passed that are now forcing prisons to be filled with permanent occupants. Laws that are passed while public prisons are being privatized and no private owner of property wants property without a tenant. So now it's been determined while there's not enough money to keep our schools open, there's more than enough money to build more prisons. There's a problem here. Here, an institution that used to be called rehabilitational centers. Did you know that they officially took rehabilitation out of the title? And when somebody came along and said, I thought that these were places for rehabilitation, they said, well, put rehabilitation back on the sign. But they did not put rehabilitation efforts in any program in those prisons. So now, the prisons are over occupancy. Some say nearly 100%. I visited our brothers in Solano State Penitentiary, made to hold a couple of thousand, but housing close to 5,000. I visited our brothers in Solano State Penitentiary, made to hold a couple of thousand, yet it's holding 5,000. Yeah. They removed all efforts of recreation from the men who used to lift weights.
Right.
Now, they claim that out of fear of the men's strength,
right,
that they removed weights from them. Well, now you go into the gymnasium. There's no ball, there's no hoop, there's no net, there's no badminton. You go into the prison gymnasium there today, and it's a dormitory. And quite frankly, you have, some of you, multiple children. And you know how we do sometimes. You might have a home with two beds and four children. So you ask your four children to sleep together in the two beds. And all of us have seen our children, one pulls the sheet off the other.
That's right.
One bumps the other off the bed.
That's correct.
One races the other to the restroom. One uses up all the tissue, and you look up, and your children that love one another are fighting for space and place. Is that right?
Right.
Now, that happens with our children. What do you think happens when a prison that's made to put 4,000 people in beds has 7,000 people in those beds? It's a recipe for violence. It's a recipe for disaster. And it prevents the very thing that they claim that they want the prisons to produce, and that is a rehabilitated human being. Well, these are state policies. And the Black Caucus of the state of California, these are our representatives that are given charge not just to vote the way that others would vote. It really has gotten to a time in which that we can't allow any longer our representatives to play plantation politics. This is now the climate that does not permit a black elected official to pass laws that further criminalize and demonize and rob our people of opportunity for the sake of keeping a position on a committee, for the sake of keeping some position of influence with a party that, quite frankly, has never had our best interests at heart.
That's right.
Now, let me just say this. We're going to launch soon a voter registration drive. We picked up, while we were in Sacramento, 1,000, the first registration forms given to us by the office of Assemblyman Sandra Swanson. But you know, when you're on that kind of drive, we can't tell you what party to register for. But I can tell you this, that if we think that the difference between Republican and Democrat is great, you ought to think again. When we look at those that are jockeying for influence, a Democrat becomes a Demublican. And a Republican can often become a Republicrat.
That's right.
These are people that are vying for positions of power at your and my demise.
Right.
And so when these laws are passed that are not favorable for our community, we are now charged with saying to those in elected positions, it's not about what they say above you. Earthquakes started to bow. I've never seen an earthquake come from a cloud. Earthquakes come from deep beneath the earth crust. And when you go down to the bottom, you find us there. Those that have suffered more than anybody else as a result of the types of laws that have passed, they're now calculating how many schools to close in every city. They've already determined that by the third grade that many of our children are alleged to be on a school to prison pipeline.
That's right. Yeah.
But look at what happens in the schools. Who's there to correct what the schools are or are not teaching our children? Why doesn't Johnny know how to read? Why is it that more than half of our children in Oakland are dropped out before the 12th grade? What do they expect of a system that drops out more than half of its children? They say an idle mind is a devil's workshop. Well, what would be on the mind of a young person that's not in school in the age that they should be in school? What would be on the mind of a child that goes to school and the school offers them nothing but sometimes that they exhibit intelligence? By the way, intelligence simply means the ability to accomplish your will. Right. And when our children are in class, you'll find that many of our children have, quite frankly, strong wills. So the teacher says to them, George Washington is the father of the country. And the child says, George Washington ain't my daddy. Teacher says, go to the principal's office. When the teacher says that Columbus is a hero that discovered America, then the Latino child says, well, wait a minute, I'm a descendant of the Native Americans that were here. I saw a t-shirt while I was coming here today, and it said, it had a picture of some Native brothers on it. And it said, fighting terrorism since 1492. So there are some children that know better. They sit in the classroom, and when they don't hear better, they quite frankly rebel. Yes. Now, Johnny may not have yet learned how to read because he doesn't think the teacher knows any better than him. Look, and he might well be right. But they walk in a classroom and they're learning social philosophies that have nothing to do with us. They're learning histories that have nothing to do with us. And here's a state that's funding a system that is failing. But look how it offers its response. It responds to the children that have failed in a failing system. Who corrects the system? Our children can learn if we're willing to teach them. Our teaching, quite frankly, begins at home and extends to the classroom. And we have to be the first to acknowledge that. But when our children are in the classroom, what and who are we subjecting them to?
Yeah. Come on.
So when we go to Sacramento, we're saying from the top down that the time has ended for the kind of decisions that you have made to go unchecked by the brother and the sister, the human being on the streets of Northern California. As you've heard in prior town halls, that this process really began for us more assertively with Operation Nutcracker. And I have to say that before that, we had a wonderful operation here that we owe a great debt of gratitude to Bishop Bob Jackson for beginning what was called Black Men First. Because that effort, like this effort, designed to address the wholeness of the problem that our community is afflicted by.
That's all right.
So when Black Men First was born, it was born because there had been over 140 homicides in the city of Oakland, and black men of concern and of right heart gathered together to do something to save and to save the homicides in the community. And we knew right off the top that meant a variety of things. That meant that there needed to be men and women of conscience willing to go into the hood and say to young men in the hood where we live, look, brothers, there's got to be a better way than us killing each other.
Yeah.
We're killing each other and we're serving ourselves up to a system that already hates us. So the system waits for us to fire on one another and then captures us and returns us to slavery called prison. So Black Men First was very focused on that effort and went on to determine that we need an effort in the community that would build an economic engine in which our young men could find employment and an educational component from which those returning from prisons can find their way back to work as successful citizens. But Black Men First came under attack.
Yes.
And we ought not to be surprised Because whenever there's been a movement among our people, there's always a force that operates against it. Now, what Attorney General Brown told us after Operation Nutcracker was that the words that he spoke, identifying our young people as urban terrorists and our struggle as a form of asymmetrical warfare, but he didn't know that we really listened to him. And that we had enough experience in political dialogue to understand that what he was doing was reflecting and repeating the words of the Office of Homeland Security that was developed as a response to 9/11. Now, of course, we are all pained by the thousands of people that lost their lives on 9/11, but don't you dare compare Pookie and Ray Ray and Shanae and we in the hood and the problem that we have and we got issues. But don't compare our problem with flying three aircraft that were stolen and crashed into buildings to justify a war. Because then the question becomes, what war is about to be justified? For our concern was this, that the war against our young people in West Oakland would be a war that spread across the state under the guise of a war against drugs. Jerry Brown, before he was mayor, he made some very unique statements. He said that whenever you find a drive for incarceration, that what you see that that's a result not of an increase in crime, he said, that's a result of a failure of capitalism.
That's what he said.
And then he let it to be known that the war on drugs was really a false war. That like the other effort was really designed to fill up more prisons. In other words, Jerry Brown is not a dumb man. He's very smart. So when he ran for mayor of Oakland, part of his platform of dialogue was his intention to dismantle black elected power bases. He stated it publicly. And then went on and did exactly what he stated. He made every effort to pit one against the other. Now, in the undergird of that was black men first. Black men as police chiefs. Black men as city council persons, black men as county supervisors, black men as pastors, black men as activists, black men, most importantly, as black men, willing to not stand on title, but recognizing the need and attempting to serve this terrible problem in our community of black on black violence, as well as dealing with the government's duty and responsibility to providing right service in the community where we live. Well, when we challenged Jerry Brown, this is what he said. He said, I wouldn't have spoken that way, except that there's a force, and he kind of winked at, you know what that force is. It's the prison guard union. It's the police officers union. A union that we know wields great force, because when people came to mourn the loss of four police officers whose lives were taken in a horrific incident, when that funeral occurred, it was a very political thing. It was. You know it's political when a governor comes to a funeral, because there are funerals held every day without the governor. Is that right? There are officers that are murdered throughout the state and country, but rarely is the governor there. I don't know of any murder that has brought out two state senators. Okay. They happen, but I'm just not aware that two state senators would arrive and the state's attorney general. Of course, they owe it to their constituency if they care about the constituency that is murdered, but quite frankly, there are more than police officers murdered in these streets.
Come on.
And we simply are saying that when you issue out your condolence and concern, we ought not be concerned for the loss of police officers like and unconcerned for the loss of brothers and sisters that are losing their lives in Oakland every 3 days. Every 3 days. So they're disinviting the mayor of the city of Oakland from participating in a funeral that the city of Oakland paid for. Now, let's kind of look past the fact that the mayor is a black man, because you might think that we're just crying wolf. But they didn't just look past the mayor, they looked past the congressperson whose district the murder occurred in, congressperson Barbara Lee. She was sitting there. But just in case you think I'm just overreacting, you know, you black Muslims, you think everything in black and white terms. The city council person who went immediately to the aid of those police officers. Council person Brooks had bloodshot eyes every day I saw her after that, because I don't think she got much sleep, because she did all that she could, not only to serve the police officers, but to serve the people that live on 74th and McCollum. She wasn't invited or thanked for the sacrifices that she made. County Supervisor Keith Carson. I'm not sure if that street is his district. Is it? I think it is. It's somewhere. Is that Nate Meyer? That's Nate Meyer. He's the county supervisor. But I'm sure Nate Meyer was there somewhere. They didn't call his name out either. So how were four white elected officials imported and four sitting black elected officials exported from the program? In other words, obviously, there's a struggle being waged between the forces that back law enforcement and the black elected officials that are sitting in position. We want to say to our black elected officials, don't be afraid. So when they take a position that's so thoroughly against you, because if it's against you, it's not against you. It's not personal. It's against the city that elected you. It's against the district that elected you. It's against the area that elected you. That entire city area has now been disrespected. So don't allow yourself, black elected officials, to be marginalized.
Right.
When we made our way to Sacramento to lay the groundwork, we met with the staffers of the Black Caucus and staffers of the Asian Pacific Islander Caucus, and an unusual thing happened. Some acted as though they didn't know that we were coming, which they had been informed a month ahead. And when we arrived, they said, "You mean you're really coming?" Well, we were there in February, I believe the 19th, with several hundred, close to 500. While Governor Schwarzenegger was announcing the budget pass, law enforcement there gave more attention to our being there. I think on that day, there were at least 300 officers circling us. On horseback, motorcycle, bicycle, on foot. Brother Jack is reminding me there were snipers on the roof. Helicopters were there. And all we came to say was treat our people with justice and righteousness. That's all we came to say. They blocked the halls on the interior while Governor Schwarzenegger, who by the way they tell us he's never in Sacramento.
But he was there
that day. But he's never in Sacramento, so I wonder how he actually does his job very effectively. But now, my point here is that we went to say to those in Sacramento, there's a new force coming up. It comes from the ground up, not from the top down. It's very natural thing that we gather together out of love and anger at the same time. We gather together out of love for our communities.
Yes.
So in San Francisco, the town hall was built on love of the community. In East Palo Alto, the town hall was built on love for the community.
Come on.
In Antioch, Richmond, Modesto, Merced, and Stockton, and Oakland, the town halls have been built on love for the community. Now, paying attention to Jerry Brown's words, he said there's a force.
Yes.
Well, we've got the greatest force with us. Because quite frankly, there is no force greater than the force called love.
That's right.
So you learn it scripturally. If you go to Easter service on tomorrow, I'm sure somebody's going to say God is love.
Yes.
Well, love, we are taught, is far more than a feeling, because God is not a feeling.
Come on, come on.
God actually represents a force that is greater than any force in the universe.
Come on, come on.
So it is that kind of force that called us together. It was our love for Brother Oscar.
Yeah.
We had nothing but our natural love. To watch a young man murdered on national TV and watch the city, county, and state and federal government say and do nothing. It was love that took us to the streets.
That's right.
Right.
There are some elements that lack wisdom.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was love that took our sister, Diana, to the bar board meeting on Thursday. And show and share her love with the members of bar. Now, we can't declare that we know everybody that arrives at a public gathering. And you should know openly that it was not No Justice, No Bart, and Brother Christoph, and the wonderful effort they made to bring truth to power. And they kept that fight continually. Because this is not a short race. This is a long race. Justice takes time. One wise man said that justice is the eventual working out of wrong. It's the weapon that God uses to right the wrong. So this is a process that takes time. We understand this very clearly. So what we're building up really now is we're building up our endurance.
Yeah.
As Brother Suleiman said last week at the town hall, to make a commitment to the commitment. For this is a movement that is being born and raised to apply force to power. As Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did and it never will. But that is a power that must be backed by force. And the force that backs us up is the force of love. Let me wind this down. Force is the name given to whatever causes motion. The most familiar force, they say, is weight. When we speak truth, it becomes a weighty word.
Mm-hmm.
One member of the BART board, who has not been so kind in his response when the community stood up outraged by what happened to Brother Oscar, he came to me on the side one day and said, "I don't agree with what you say, but I have to admit in words that your words carry weight."
Okay.
Well, it's not my words. Truth is from God.
That's right.
And if I share truth, and if we represent truth, then what we represent carries a force.
Yes.
Sacramento was impacted on Wednesday morning by a force that it didn't see coming. When they ask, "Are you really coming?" it's because they didn't believe that a bunch of poor folk from the neighborhoods of Oakland, San Francisco, and East Palo Alto would actually come on a work day. And fill up 15 buses and make ourselves known with truth.
Yes.
Not just black. Now they're really confused now, because they thought then we would come and say, "Black power, let's bring our weapons and tear something down." Oh, no, we don't have to tear it down like that.
No.
I think Pastor described it well. It's really more of a Humpty Dumpty reality. Humpty fell off the wall. Maybe somebody was at the base of that wall shaking the earth. I told you, earthquakes start from the bottom. I don't know what made Humpty fall off that wall. But he did come off that wall. So we're here with a force to really change the political climate. Now, what's coming up that we need to be informed of? That we're capable of participating in? By next town hall, we'll be unveiling, with the help of you and others, our voter registration drive. We want to register people in every community. We're not going to tell you what party to register for. I really don't care, as long as we're in agreement on what must be done. For we are here not to start a new party. People in parties have their issues and do what's in the interest of those parties or of you as an individual voter. You can do that if you please. Regardless of your party, we need to develop a political force that has to be responded to. What happened in Sacramento was they felt the power of a force.
Yes, they did.
So when we went the first time, while the governor was on the inside, when the head of the Black Caucus and Latino Caucus came to the outside after having no sleep all night, well, that represented they had to respond to a force.
That's right.
A force great enough that they understand, you know, quite frankly, you can't keep your black credentials or your brown credentials,
okay,
or your activist credentials with what's going on in this hour standing back cussing at the TV.
No.
I think Reverend Buford made a statement about intellectuals and movements. You know, movements give rise to intellectualism. So Huey Newton, as a college student, developed the Panther Party and studied the reality.
That's right.
He didn't come from Harvard.
That's right.
He went wherever he went after growing from the ground up.
Right.
Same is true with all of our great revolutionaries.
That's right.
Because we cannot produce the kind of change or apply the necessary force while ignorant. One of the purposes of the town hall is to ensure that we all have at least some common information.
Right.
Once we have common information, it's more effective when we begin to organize. We cannot organize ignorant, as my brother would say from San Francisco, Francisco de Costa. He would say, and I don't have the accent well, but he's from Africa, and he'll say we have to be educated on the issues. We've got to be educated on the issues. We've got to know them to effectively utilize the power of our unity. And so a force in science, let me just share this. In the absence of opposing forces, if no force acts against a particular force, it continues to move. Now, there are those that have attempted to act against the force of this movement already. We've seen funny news articles. We've seen misinterpretations. Those that have stood up for Oscar have been accused of being cop haters or even cop killers. Now, somebody allegedly has placed a flyer on some law enforcement vehicles that says, in essence, those officers were murdered for Oscar. Well, you don't know who made these flyers, do you? Now, there's enough history in this city to know that when the Panthers had a problem getting along with other Panthers, that there were letters drafted and crafted in FBI headquarters with signature specialist, forging specialist, that signed the names of Panther leadership to letters threatening the lives of other parents. And signed, sealed, and delivered these letters, causing Panther to fight with Panthers. A fight that was so terrible and put so much pain in the hearts of Panthers. You all have heard of Geronimo Pratt?
Yes.
Our great warrior spent 26 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit, was not in the city of Los Angeles the day that a murder occurred. He was actually in the Bay Area, but because there was a beef inside of the Panthers, none would testify at that time that he was actually in the Bay Area. But what am I saying? I'm saying that we have to be aware of the wiles of Satan. So when I read that there's a flyer with Oscar's picture on it, with four murdered officers and Mixon's picture on it, and that the police now have distributed this flyer to every department in the Bay Area with instructions to be very careful. Well, I thought law enforcement officers were always careful. At least that's the training. So now they send the letter out to incite hatred. Bishop Jackson said something very wise when the pastors of Oakland held, I don't know when it was spoken, I read it in the paper, but held a vigil out at the East Mountain Mall a few days after the funeral on a Tuesday evening. He said that we wanted to appeal for calm, not just from those that live on and in the community, but from law enforcement.
Yes. That's
right. So when Mateer and Ross publishes an article, I don't know if I read it anywhere else. I read it in Mateer and Ross. Publishes an article that says that there are flyers being placed on police vehicles threatening them. Well, you know, I learned as a young man, because I've never been very heavy. Tall and thin, I've always been. And I played football against large people. And I learned as a young man, don't talk stuff. This man is 250 pounds. We're going to have to play the game. There's no need for me to talk to him. When the whistle blows, I'm going to have to hit him. And he's going to have to hit me. And if I sit here and incite this man, then I'm making it more difficult on myself. That's why when Reginald Lyles was here, and he gave as a former officer some advice, you don't incite if you can help it. A situation with a person with a gun, a club, and a taser on it, and other weapons. You're mindful, because you don't want to start something with impunity and without justice. So my point here is that as we're confronting these forces, we should expect confusion to come through the media.
Yes.
To do all that it can to keep the movement from moving forward. With Black Men First, Bishop, we would turn on Soul Bee and everybody would be lashing out at Bishop Jackson for coming to a meeting or for standing in a meeting where Muslims were there, where activists were there. And it was really just part of an old plan. Divide them and conquer them. Make them think, Willie Lynch said, that they're all different. He said that if we use this plan of making them think themselves to be all different, he said that this plan would work for 300 years. Now that letter was drafted in 1712. When is the 300 year over? 2012. Is that the end of his life? Minister Farrakhan said at the Million Man March, let's put Willie Lynch to death. See, our unity and our willingness to work one with the other, regardless of what you see in the newspaper, regardless of what you see on television. If you left the news storylines to be our only outlet, our friends at Banner wanted to have a press conference. That's by any means necessary. What day was that? Thursday? On Wednesday or Thursday, to address the fact that the defense against the lawsuit from the Johnson family, the Grant family, issued its findings, or its, what do you call it?
Answer.
Its answer to the charges.
Oh, yes.
Well, the answer was, in essence, we were defending ourselves.
With the man's handcuffs.
I hear the man with his friends who are sitting and laying on the ground. Now, which man laying down posed a threat that required the use of a weapon? Not only were they on the ground, but they were being held on the ground. At least Oscar was. Now, in what way did that young man pose any threat? By the way, a police officer is trained to keep his peace. You might see sometimes tourists go to England, to Scotland Yard, and here's a man holding post with maybe a rifle in his hand. He's got this big black red suit on. And tourists come and get in his face to see if they can make him blink, to see if they can encourage him to say something back to them. And they say all sorts of evil things to the man. But if you watch him, he's well trained and he stands. He doesn't move. You mean to tell me if it's New Year's Eve and you know there's a lot of excited people on New Year's Eve, you can predict that before you get there? But now the people are on the train. They argue that they were in a mob that was overwhelming them. But if there was a mob overwhelming them, you would not have seen the cell phone footage capturing the murder of our brother, because people would have been in the way. There were no people in the way. The people were on the train, and these officers perhaps knew they were doing something wasn't right. So they said, shut the doors on the train and send that train away. It's on tape. So their defense, Bart, rather than seeking really the mercy of God, which would have been the right thing to do.
Yes, sir.
Our officers, if I'm Bart talking, have offended you, Lord, and we seek your forgiveness. That would be the right thing to do. We have taken the life of an innocent human being. And we know, Lord, that we can't replace that life. But we come before you humbly in sackcloth and ashes to seek your forgiveness. That the family of our brother can be healed. Now, if Bart came in response something like that, I'm sure that our grieved mother could at least say, well, I can't bring my son back.
That's right.
I have to respect what you just said. But they didn't say that. They are now issuing every mental device possible to defend their institution. So rather than seek righteousness, they have stepped forward to defend the institution. Well, quite frankly, sooner or later, they will lose. It's only a matter of time. But you know, it is better to lose money than it is to lose your soul. So for every member of the board of Bart, the question becomes, do you have a soul at all? It would be better for Bart to lose a financial settlement than to lose the soul of the people that work there. Look, sisters and brothers, this is a fight that's ongoing. Next week, on the 14th, which is Tuesday morning, a delegation of us will go, God willing, to Sacramento as Assembly Bill 312 is being introduced before the state legislature in a session of the Public Safety Committee. I'm learning a little bit more about state government, and we have learned as students that any law you want to pass through state government has to be introduced in the month of January. So we're thankful that Assemblyman Amiano and Yee introduced very quickly legislation after they saw the murder of our brother. Man. We got to drive our black electors a little stronger. But we appreciate the efforts made by the assemblymen. So we go on Tuesday to hear what their proposal is as it is being introduced and to speak our thoughts to what is there. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't spell out all things, but it spells out a state-mandated order to the BART department to produce a civilian oversight and review board. Now, why is this needed? Come on up here. I want to introduce my brother Michael. 2 weeks after Brother Oscar was murdered, my brother had a conflict. He's limping still. With BART police, a conflict that caused him to be tasered while in the back of a police vehicle 3 times, while handcuffed in the police car. He's still injured. This happened in, I believe, the second week or third week of January. Now, we heard BART officers tell us in this town hall that if you have a problem with BART officers, I'm a lieutenant, here's my car. And that's nice, brother lieutenant, that we have your car, but what we don't have is a system that demands justice. Yeah. Not sufficient that we can shake your hand and give you a hug and meet you in church on Sunday. We'll do all those things. But what we want to know is whether or not there's a system that secures justice for the people. My brother is a victim. And he said when he went to go offer a complaint, he can hardly find anybody to talk to at BART. Right. Now you know they're really tap dancing now. Because of what happened with Brother Oscar, the spotlight is on him. But let me tell you this. When Oscar was killed, that was the third time a BART officer has killed someone. And after 3 attempts, they still don't have an officer trained to investigate BART-involved shooting incidents. After Oscar was killed, BART then sent some officers for training to learn how to investigate a homicide. In other words, they don't expect homicides at BART. So they don't even have the training to know how to, whatever they do with that evidence. So I wonder what kind of evidence they came out with since the officers didn't have the training. Y'all with me now?
Yes,
there's not a system to secure justice. We want our brother Michael to know that we love him and we're going to help him to unearth the facts and secure justice. So family, we go on Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. at the state capitol. I don't know the room number right off, but if you go, it is the Public Safety Commission that is proposing this effort to call BART a real system of oversight. And so I think I made the statements that I need to make. We have with us today, and I don't know if they'd like to share with us, our family, the mother of Brother Oscar, Sister Wanda. Give her a big round of applause. We have, of course, the godmother, Sister Diana, and the older Jack. Say before one of them, if you desire to share with us, should share some ideas and thoughts with us as they are part of this movement. This movement has brought together organizations, churches, pastoral groups, mosques, town hall meetings. It's an organization. And certainly the heart and soul of Oakland is the family of Oscar Grant. And so I want you to join me in receiving our sister, the mother of Brother Oscar. Please receive Sister Wanda.